Quilting. It isn't just your grandmother's hobby anymore. The modern-day art quilters use digital printing, discharging dyes, and shibori resist to manipulate the cloth before the actual sewing begins. Coming up. Hello, I'm Stephen DeLuque, and you've tuned in to Ears on Art, a twice-monthly program dedicated to the investigation, exploration, and the expansion of understanding about the visual arts. Last week, co-host Krissa Hewitt and I visited with art quilter Andy Pareda, who guided us through the history and some of the various techniques that have led the art quilt movement to the 21st century. High-tech machinery, including computer plotting and digital printing, have been added to the quilter's toolbox, or should I say sewing basket, a term that now sounds a bit archaic. Today, Krissa travels north to talk with Kathy Howard and Jean Aird, both participants in the Fabrications Cutting Edge Fiber Art Show, currently on exhibit at Studios on the Park in Paso Robles through April 1st. So without further ado, let's talk to the experts.
I am fortunate enough to be up here in the hills above Atascadero at the home of Kathy Howard. How are you?
I'm fine, and welcome to our home and studio. We're glad to have you here.
Also with us is Jean Aird.
Hi, thanks for doing this.
My pleasure, and Stephen's. Unfortunately, he was not able to join us today, but he's here in spirit. So we're continuing our conversation about quilts. Our last program was dealing with some of the history about quilts and some of the more conventional or traditional methods of quilting. And today we're expanding on that. Either one of you want to define what this is?
These are called art quilts, what Kathy and I and a lot of other quilters are doing these days. And we're really concerned with a lot of surface design, making our own fabric using silk screening, digital printing, taking dye out, a process known as discharging dye from fabric, using shibori resist dyeing, which is a Japanese type of dyeing where fabric is bound or clamped tightly and you then add dye to it, and just a whole plethora of other kind of techniques that one can use. There's people who put fabric into dirt for a period of time, and that tape makes its own mark on it. And so art quilts, it's a very kind of loose definition. You should have three layers optimally, and they are held together somehow, but there's just so many different avenues to go down to make one.
Well, that was really helpful and certainly opens that door in a very nice, broad way. Kathy, how did you happen to get into working this direction?
I've always loved fabric, and I just couldn't resist going a little bit further and doing some dyeing and printing and just experimenting with different techniques. And Jean has taught classes that I've attended, and it has broadened my artistic endeavors, I think, a lot.
Did you start with the more conventional approach to quilts, or did you start with this?
I started with actually sewing just clothing, and then in 1976 there was a huge interest in traditional quilts, and I did start quilting then. So it's taken me a long time to get to this point where I feel I'm doing art quilts.
And where did it start for you, Jean?
Well, I started out as a weaver, well, actually a macrame way back in the 70s, and went to weaving. And then due to that just being painful to my back and having back surgeries, I went into quilting. And I did traditional quilts for my boys originally, and then just kind of grew through knowing a person by the name of Frances Bailey, who is really well known in this area for quilting. And she just broaden my horizons about what could be done with fabric. And then at first I didn't want to make my own fabric. There's only X number of hours in a day. Do I want to be making the fabric or quilting with it? And so then I decided I did want to do both. And now I'm making more fabric and not as many quilts with it. But it's just exciting to create your own fabric.
When you're creating the fabric, are you thinking about possible quilts, or are you really just going more for the process?
Usually it's just making the fabric that is exciting to me. And then after I have a whole pile of them made and I've got stacks at home of these fabrics, then I put them up on a design wall, which is a piece of flannel like this, and put them up and audition them together and then see, okay, I could do this with this and cut this apart. Sometimes it's painful to cut into the piece of fabric because I like what has happened with it. It's a painting. But you know, I figure, okay, I'm going to cut it up and I need to do something with it. I can't keep them in a pile in my closet.
In your intro, you were discussing a few different terms, shibori.
I have some examples of what is called arashi shibori, where fabric is put around a piece of PVC pipe about three to four inches in diameter, and then string is wrapped around the fabric and you scrunch it together and you either immerse it in dye or squirt dyes on it. And you get some really nice linear designs from that. And then this piece here that has the round images on it was folded, and then I put CDs and clamped them, held together with clamps, and then squirted dyes from either side of this folded piece. I mean, that's called itajami when you're doing the clamping. And this process has been used forever in Japan, where they made kimonos. It's just a fascinating way to make fabric, to make a quilt. And then there's also a shibori design where you do stitching. And in this piece, which is called 77 Days and Counting, which is about the oil spill that happened some years ago, I did the sun portion of this by doing some stitching. Wherever you see the white, that's been stitched, and the stitching pulled tight to resist the dye.
And it appears in this case that you did keep at least one section of the fabric?
This is a whole cloth quilt, as it's called. It's one piece of fabric. And so I was able to keep this whole. At first, this was just a nice, pretty little landscape. And then, as I say, I kept listening to the news about, okay, now day 77 of the oil spill. And so I had that on my mind so much during that time. So I did a silk screen of the oil slick down here at the bottom. And I thought, well, you've just taken a pretty landscape and ruined it a little bit. And I thought, well, that's what's happening right now in you know, the New Orleans, Florida area.
And then you've made use of stitching, the stitching you've done in, you know, wonderful kind of irregular sort of patterns.
Right, and that's a free motion quilting where you, it's a type of quilting that is very popular among art quilters, and where you drop the feed dogs underneath your machine so that you're actually steering the fabric where you want it to go rather than the feed dogs just pulling it along to do a straight line. It's kind of funny when you go up to some of the quilt shows up at Pacific International. They have a show every year where there's thousands of quilts up there, and you see the traditional quilters looking at all the machine quilting going, just don't understand it, just don't get it. And it's just really taken over a lot, and it's an art form in its own. And the hand quilting is, of course, so beautiful, but you don't see as much of that anymore at those shows. So I respect all kinds of quilting, and this is definitely coming into its own, the machine quilting.
Kathy, as you start a piece, what sorts of things are you often thinking about or working with?
I have to admit, my first impression is color. I look for the colors that I'm going to enjoy and that inspire me to do something special. And this piece here is something that I just took a plain piece of muslin and I immersed it in water, and then I used a lot of different metal objects that resisted the rust, and then I put steel wool on top of it and made it very wet, and so that made this design on the muslin. And then I took off from there. I added the border of different fabrics that I had hand dyed, and couched down a little bit of sparkly yarn just to add a sparkle to it.
So the rust is literally the steel rusting and staining the fabric.
Yes.
Often something we're trying to get out, and now it's being put to good use. If you have fabric out there that you can't salvage and are sending to the Goodwill, then
you never
send
know
it to a quilter, right.
some of my pieces have been made with fabric that was rescued from the Goodwill, because people tend to just not see the true value in some of these things. So, for instance, the lining on this vest here called Pathways to the Autumn Garden, that's a piece of home deck fabric that I picked up somewhere along the line, and I've used it several times, and I think it's effective as a lining there.
There are several pieces of clothing here. Is that what you specialize in?
Yes, I consider myself a wearable artist, and I have been lucky enough to participate in some major fashion shows. This piece that Jean is showing you has leaf prints that are made with bleach. The leaf itself is coated with bleach on the back. And then it's stamped onto the black fabric, and of course that takes the black dye out, and it leaves this pretty rusty color.
And about how long does that take?
It happens quickly. You have to maybe do just a stretch of fabric at a time, because the bleach can go too far too fast.
And if you lift the leaf off?
The leaf is lifted off right away, and it leaves the bleach on the fabric.
Okay.
Right, you can see it changing the color in the black fabric. You put it into vinegar and water to stop the action of the bleach. Another interesting thing I did on this piece was this, I call it net lace. It's sewn onto netting with a product called Solvi. The Solvi dissolves in water after you've done all the stitching, so you have this kind of see-through thing on it.
Okay.
So that's net lace.
It's interesting the kinds of carryovers from different materials. I mean, the way that people have found to make something more transparent or translucent than it would normally be with enameling, which is basically ground up almost powdered glass that gets melted on metal. Well, somebody discovered if they ate away the copper that they often did it on, then they could have light come through the enamel. So called plique-jour, light of day.
And I think that's something that in making fabric, a lot of times we'll use more than one technique, and then you get a lot of layering of the different techniques showing through one on top of another, and I find that just fascinating.
So this piece, Kathy, that we've been looking at with the leaf prints and so forth is this wonderful...
It's a long coat, yeah. And then it has the slim long dress on it, and this is a fabric that I hand-dyed. I should mention, too, this collar is Circle of Illusion, which is a design that Andy Parada originally... Did she show you this?
Yes, we certainly saw her version, and came away with our eyes spinning. And for those who didn't hear the description of that, well, Kathy, why don't you describe it?
It's a circle. It's cut with an angled ruler. It's like a pie-shaped. The pieces get smaller as they go up toward the collar. I don't know, it just gives you this burst of color and movement.
I made one myself, and I counted the pieces in it when I was writing a description for it, and it's something like 1,200 some little squares make up this design, and it's almost like reminds me of an old Roman mosaic, how it just radiates from the center going out in this circular pattern.
When I was in Italy and seeing a Roman ruin of a floor, all I kept thinking, here's every quilt that ever started. I mean, whether it's the parquet block, the squares, the subtle colors back and forth, it was just mesmerizing. We find new ways to say it.
Translating it into a different media.
You are listening to Ears on Art, produced here at KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. Our topic today is quilting, and our guests are Jean Aird and Kathy Howard. We continue now as Kathy talks about some national competitions in which she very successfully participated.
Sewing Machine Company sponsored a wearable art show, and they invited different artists. You had to submit a portfolio, and I was accepted. Then they work with you all the way through. You have to turn in different your design ideas, your color ideas, your progress. And this takes a whole year. And there were professional models on the runway that modeled these garments. I was thrilled to have been invited twice to do this. And both those garments that you see over there were from that show.
Oh, that is exciting.
And these garments did travel for a whole year, sponsored by Bernina, and they were presented in different quilt shows all over the United States. But the sad thing is that they do no longer support this show.
Jean, is this yours or another one of
this
Kathy's?
This is another one of Kathy's, where she does something called paper piecing for these elephants that are in this beautiful jacket. And
paper piecing is something that you either love or hate. I think most of my friends would agree with that. And I just love doing it because it gives you a very precise line. You actually sew on the back on the paper, and you put two pieces of fabric together, you sew on the line, and then you flip over the fabric. So you have a very precise line. I love my little elephant on the back because she has her eyelashes Aww. All ready to say hello. So this was entered in as a Hoffman Challenge garment. The Hoffman Fabric Company every year picks a fabric and chooses garments, quilts, dolls, and accessories to be in their show, and that's another traveling exhibit for a whole year. The things on the wall over there are the current Hoffman Challenge. And so I'm working from their pick of the fabric and trying to do something with it.
What kind of flowers are those?
Roses.
Large ones.
Large roses,
cabbage
okay.
roses.
Well, that's why they don't exactly look like a rose to me. Okay, so we've got large flowers as in 4 to 6 inches across. So that's the principal fabric.
This is an interesting block that Kathy has that she's putting with the challenge fabric, and it's a technique called reverse applique. And it's where it actually comes from the Kuna Indians, who created this type of fabric by having layers of fabric, and then you sew and you cut through to reveal different fabrics that are stacked up in the layering.
Okay, Kathy, so you've made this sandwich of 3 or 4 or 5 pieces of fabric. I don't know that I want to know, but I do want to know how one starts to cut through with being able to stop at the layer where you want to stop.
Well, first of all, you have to sew. It's a free motion technique starting in the center and just going around in a circle, and you keep going back and touching the original one. But you a very, very sharp pair of scissors. I don't care if I cut through this thing because it does happen. But, you know, you always can put another layer on the bottom if you get a hole. So I just started experimenting with that, and it turned me on, so I kept going with it. And so that's the result. This is my garment for the show that we're going to be doing, the fabrications. And this is the same technique as the roses on the back of this garment. Jean brought some of her beautiful quilts.
This is called Black and White and Red All Over, just like the old joke. It's a newspaper. What's black and white and red all over? But this has some different techniques in it. This is using something called potato dextrin that I applied to the fabric through construction fencing. So you get these oval openings, and the potato dextrin is put in, which is kind of like mashed potato. It's a food substance. And as it dries, you get crackles through that mashed potato-like stuff, and you put thickened dye into those little openings. And then the fabric has to sit and do something called curing and batching for 24 hours so that the dye really bonds with the fabric. So that's one piece of fabric in this particular quilt.
And then the potato gets washed off.
The potato does get washed off, yes. Just leaving this kind of crackled look that I like a lot.
This is very similar to some ceramic glazes, crackled glazes. It's exactly what they're called, so that's cool.
And then this piece also has some foiling added onto it, and also some beads, some lamp-worked beads, and some covered beads, and then a lot of just free-motion quilting and some embroidery, something that I learned way back when from my mother. And I like the idea of sometimes putting in some traditional elements of quilting, either with hand stitching or piecing some traditional piece patterns as well. And this quilt here has a digital photograph that I enhanced using Photoshop and then printed on four pieces of silk with a piece of organza through the middle. Uh-huh. And so digital printing is another way that art quilters design their fabric. And then I wanted to do something traditional as well on it with the embroidery. So it kind of combines, again, that idea of new and old.
With your work, the size is staying relatively small. Are you seeing these more as pieces to hang?
Yes, definitely pieces to hang on a wall. And this is a piece I had in the Dimensions show in 2009. And it is another example of that layering process that I'm fascinated with. I have discharged dye from the fabric, which means that I took a piece of fabric, I folded, I clamped it, I put it into a bleach water mixture until I saw the dye leaving it. And then you quickly snatch it out before it's eaten alive and put it into either a vinegar water or some kind of an anti-chlor mixture to stop that eating away of the fabric. And you can just see different processes from where a string was wrapped around, giving a different technique of some fine lines, and then the squares where it was a piece of square wood that was clamped down, leaving an over white area.
This is a more random kind of pattern. Mm-hmm. So obviously you're having to make those decisions before you go to the next step. Are you just playing with putting things down on the fabric? Are you drawing it out? What sort of ways are you getting inspired about that?
It's a very random way of working, and it's just serendipitous what you get. And I love that about it, that I don't know. I can kind of think when I am binding or wrapping, this is going to be white. This is going to be yellow or orange, depending where I'm squeezing in dyes or when I'm removing dye. But I never know exactly what I'm going to get, and I like that. You get a lot of fun things happening that you never expected with these processes. And you get things also where it's like, never going to use that piece. So,
am I sensing that for the two of you, that serendipity, Kathy, is not necessarily a high interest or as much? I mean, you kind of enjoy being able to control a little bit more, and I don't use that word negatively, where it's going. Whereas Jean, it seems that some of your excitement is in letting it do some of it.
Mm-hmm.
My way off base?
No, I think that's accurate.
I think you're probably right. I would like to be more free. I think I tend to be a little bit uptight with some of my sewing and I little teeny pieces, and it would be better if I could just let go. And that's why I'm doing more of this free form cutting. I'm not using the ruler anymore. I'm just taking the rotary cutter and just cutting and sewing back together in more random way and trying to free up my pieces more. So I'm trying to be more serendipitous.
And yet I look at Kathy's wearables and they're just, I know that there was so much planning in it, but there's just such delightful surprises. This vest that Kathy's wearing in black and white and those areas of green. I just love that. They're just a nice surprise and unexpected and just a fun lining. And so I think that there's a lot of spontaneity when you're putting things up on your design wall or planning something as well. But it might not be in the creating of the fabric itself, but how you mix and match things. And so it's just a different way of assembling.
If you go back to early in life, when, Kathy, for you, did you feel as though the creative process was one that you got involved with?
It's always been there. My father owned a mattress company, and he started in 1930. And as a child, I became involved with all the scraps. And that's where my love of fabric came from. It's always been there, but I have to admit, I had to get practical when I went to college. I started out as an art major, but I gave it up and went into teaching because I felt it was a more practical way of life for what I saw myself doing. As the years went on, I got back into the more creative side of things. And I'm so blessed to have this in my life. It's just a marvelous self-expression for me, and it makes me happy.
Jean?
I think I've had this love of everything related to fiber since about fourth grade, when we made granny nightgowns in my Girl Scout troop with my mom as our leader. And just the fun of the fiber has just helped me become more creative with that particular medium. What else can I do with this? How can I sew this to that? I think I like just the idea of making something that just wasn't there before at all, that fabricating of something. And same kind of thing you do when you're working with clay. You have this mud and you turn it into this beautiful piece of art. And there's just a lot of excitement in doing that.
Well, this is so exciting. I think you've both done a wonderful job of helping us learn something about some of the processes that then get used to express different ideas. And it's all too easy to just say, well, that's just all about technique. And what people don't, I think, sometimes understand is that technique becomes the vocabulary, and we use that to express ourselves. If you don't have the awareness or ability of the technique, then it's something you can't say.
We're going to have a display table in the front window area, and that's going to have a lot of the tools of our trade to just kind of give people an idea of how we go about making these. And there'll be descriptions next to the quilts that are hanging on the wall that describe a little bit the processes.
Thank you both so much. This has just really been enlightening. We certainly learned quite a bit from Andy Pareda, and now we're learning that much more from the two of you. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Krista. Thanks for having us on your show.
I'm delighted to be part of this, and thank you, Krista.
Well, you're both most welcome.
Krista and I would like to thank today's guests, Jean Aird and Kathy Howard, and also Andy Pareda, who was last week's guest, for informing and bringing us up to date in what is happening in the art quilt movement. The best way to gain an appreciation for this fascinating medium is to visit the Fabrication Show at Studios on the Park. This exhibit, which represents a small collection of quilts created by the members of the Cutting Edge Fiber Arts Group of San Luis Obispo County, is up through April 1st at Studios on the Park at 1130 Pine Street, adjacent to the Central Park in downtown Paso Robles. The phone number at the studios is 238-9800, and the website is www.studiosonthepark.org. The studios are open Thursday and Sunday from noon until 6, and Friday and Saturday from noon until 7. And a little reminder, the Kathy DePalma's show is still up at the McMean Gallery in the San Luis Obispo Museum of Art through the end of March. The San Luis Obispo Museum of Art's hours of operation are Wednesday through Monday from 11 until 5. You have been listening to a production of Ears on Art, a twice-monthly program produced and recorded here at the studios of KCBX, serving Southern Monterey, San Luis Obispo, and Santa Barbara counties on California's scenic Central Coast. This is Stephen DeLuque, and for co-host Krista Hewitt, we would like to thank our loyal listeners for tuning in. Your support and dedication is truly appreciated. And speaking of support, Pledge Drive is right around the corner, so visit kcbx.org for more information on this important fundraising event. And once more, Krista and I thank you all so very much for listening.